Do you want to pray for Danny?
Absolutely. Lord Father, we pray and give thanks to you as Danny brings our reading. We thank you, Lord, for his extraordinary gift of preaching and teaching. We love the way, Father, that he brings humour and glory to your name, Father, through his service. Just pray, Father, that we'll listen with an open heart. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Well, good evening, everyone. Happy Father's Day, one and all. Great to see you all. My first Father's Day as a father on the receiving end. So this has been my treat for the day. Isn't it amazing? My children are only 2.5 years old and 18 months, yet they know the way to their father's heart. Isn't that incredible how well they've got to know me in a mere 11 months? Tonight, I want to suggest a maximum of 42 habits of a highly effective dad. I want to talk about habits and principles that I hope will encourage fathers in their own parenting journey. Will you indulge me? I've got to this stage in life now where I'm all about dad jokes. There was a time when if I dropped a joke, it would actually bother me if people didn't laugh. I'm well past that stage now. I'm happy to create moments of awkward silence and get everyone to be uncomfortable together. So indulge me. Okay, dad joke number one. I just broke 2 of my dad's old Queen records. Now I want to break 3. Anyone having that? Okay, I'm not going to lie to you. I've started with the best one, so it's only downhill from this point. Okay, does anyone here know who the patron saint of copying people into emails is? St. Francis of Assisi. Nothing. Okay, that was slightly uncomfortable. Okay, one more, if you will, please bear with me. I just saw the police chasing a man who's stolen a board game of very little value. It really was a trivial pursuit. I'll take what I can get. Thank you very much. Few reflections on fatherhood and being a dad. Firstly, dads need encouragement. Any dads here who need encouragement? If you're here and you're a dad, I really just want to build you up, affirm you, invest in your journey and growth as a father tonight. I know it's Father's Day, but I'm sure there are many dads that would agree with me. Behind every half-decent father is a great mum who's doing all the hard work and who is advising and directing and sometimes very assertively instructing us on exactly what we should be doing. I also want to be sensitive this Father's Day, that for many of us, Father's Day will raise a whole range of emotions. For some of us, this is a time of great joy and celebration. But for many of us, Father's Day will be tinged with pain for all sorts of different reasons that you will know for yourself a lot better than I do. Fatherhood, if you're here and you're a dad, is your only unique responsibility. To cherish it, honour it, take it seriously. One of my favourite church leaders says this when he's speaking to dads. He says this: don't give up what's unique to you for something someone else can do. Dads, don't give up what's unique to you for something someone else can do. If you go under a bus tomorrow, or if you leave your work on Friday, you'll be replaced on Monday. Don't give up what's unique to you for something someone else can do. Fatherhood is a strategic spiritual battleground. Any parents here ever feel like it's almost like your desire to raise your kids is being opposed? Like it's a real slog and it's difficult. Fatherhood is a strategic spiritual battleground. God desires nothing more than healthy families. Healthy families are the bedrock of healthy, thriving societies. And I think that the enemy knows if he can get to dads and if he can take dads out of the game, then he can undermine the health of a family, which brings down whole communities. There's only one perfect father. There's only one perfect father, and it's certainly not me. And dads, I would imagine it may also not be you if you're here tonight. There's only one perfect father, and it's not me, and it's not you. Jesus Christ came to reveal the Father. If you want a little strap line or mission statement for what Jesus came to do, Jesus Christ is perfect theology. Jesus Christ is the complete, ultimate definition and revelation of God the Father. So if you're here and you've got all kinds of problems and issues with God, if you're here and you're angry at God, or you've got difficulties that you can't overcome in what you understand of the character of God, I want to say to you tonight, if you don't see it in Jesus Christ, you have permission not to believe it about the Father. If you don't see it in Jesus, you don't need to believe it about the Father. Why is thinking about fatherhood important? Well, Jesus teaches us to relate to God as Father. As our Savior taught us, so we pray, our Father in heaven. Not our mate in heaven, as if God's equal to us and we can hang out with him when it suits and we can fit him in. Not our boss in heaven, as if God is our employer, demanding more and more productivity and efficiency from us. Not our head teacher in heaven, as if God is someone we only get to see when we're really in deep, deep trouble. Our Father in heaven. So learning to relate to God as a good father is key to spiritual growth. We need to really believe and know and experience that God is a good father who loves us and has good things for us. Engaging with what I would describe as our father wound is key to spiritual growth. Father wounds, the sort of jargon phraseology that psychotherapists come up with. But each one of us, we know, don't we, that we carry a father wound, that there are things our fathers have said and done to us, or not said and done to us. And deep down, we still carry those wounds in our hearts today. Have any of you, I don't know what you guys watch on telly, probably much more sophisticated programs than I do. I like a bit of Piers Morgan life stories. I don't know if anyone else here has ever watched an episode of that. What I find really interesting with those interviews is Piers Morgan's great, whatever flaws he may or may not have, at being a very direct journalist interviewer who's able to really delve deeply into people's inner lives. And what I find really interesting in those interviews is invariably there will be at least one moment where an interviewee breaks down in tears, asks for the cameras to stop, and needs to gather themselves. And that's almost always at the point when Piers Morgan asks them about their relationship with their father. Even the most rich and successful and famous people carry with them a father wound that perhaps has actually been the source of their motivation throughout their careers. If you carry a father wound tonight, which I think we all do in one way or another, Psalm 27:10, even if my father abandons me, the Lord will hold me close. We're all called to be spiritual parents. So if you're here and you're not a mum, you're not a dad, you might be thinking this is all completely irrelevant to you. We're all called to be spiritual parents. Paul, like Jesus, as far as we know, was single and obviously didn't have children. Paul is able to call Timothy and Titus his spiritual sons. Paul's played such a significant role in leading Timothy and Titus to faith, nurturing them in the gospel and the ways of the Lord, that he's able to call them his spiritual sons. Each one of us is called to play the role of a spiritual mum or dad to other people in our lives. With all that in mind, I want to invite Christine, who's going to come and bring us our Bible reading.
The Bible reading this evening can be found on page 185 of the Church Bibles and is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Love the Lord your God. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you so much, Christine. So a maximum of 42 habits of highly effective dads. And my goal is not to make anyone here feel guilty about how you've parented yesterday, but to equip you to be a better parent tomorrow. Don't want anyone to feel guilty about how they parented up till today. I want to offer some words that might equip you to grow as a parent tomorrow. So, habit number one, highly effective dads prioritize self-leadership. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if we should love our neighbor as ourselves, how much more should we love our children as we love ourselves? Jesus is big on self-love. Anyone here find it most difficult to love themselves deeply? And self-love really equals self-leadership. Self-love's about taking responsibility to build a life that is healthy and balanced so that we and the people around us can thrive. How many of you know that the hardest person to lead is the person you see each morning in the mirror? Hardest person to lead is the person you see each morning in the mirror. And how can we expect to positively influence our children if we aren't intentionally tending to, loving, and leading ourselves well? How can we lead our families if we're not leading ourselves properly? I don't know when the last time you took an aeroplane, you were on a flight. You may well remember this as I do. After the stewards and the stewardesses, they do all their kind of safety announcements. These are the exits, fire escapes, out of those windows, etc. They play a safety film. And the safety film always shows something that's really counterintuitive. They show, obviously, a drama of the plane essentially getting into trouble, perhaps going down. And there's a moment where the cabin loses its oxygen or its pressure or whatever cabins lose when disaster's about to strike. And down from the ceiling come the oxygen masks. And the film always says, apply your child's oxygen mask before you apply your own. And if you're a parent, you'll realize how counterintuitive that is. I think there's a real principle here of parenting. What's that? Have I done it the wrong way around? What did I say? It says attach your own mask before applying your child. Thank you. You're listening to me more than I am. Sorry. Thank you for that. Gosh, well, you're all still with me, if nothing else. Okay, wonderful. So the principle there is that you need to look after yourself, tend to yourself, so that you're in a position to properly love and protect and care for your child. There's no point your child having an oxygen mask attached if you've conked out and you've collapsed and you're taken out of the game. How easy is it for parents to be so busy investing in our children and keeping our families together and afloat that we're not properly tending to, loving and leading ourselves? Dads, I want to suggest that the best thing you can do for your family is to prioritize your own physical, mental, and spiritual health. The best way to lead yourself well, I would suggest, is to learn and decide to submit to the authority of Jesus and the Word of God. Choose to be led by Jesus and submit to the authority of God's Word. Why would this help you as a dad? Because if you do this, if you grow closer to Jesus and you become a student and you submit to the Word of God, you will grow in holiness, and holiness is the key to healthy relationships. You will learn to love better and deeper as you receive the love the Father has for you. You'll be more loving to your children, your families, and you will grow in wisdom as you learn to hear the Father's voice, as you learn to receive wisdom from God. You will grow in your wisdom and your capacity to lead in your family. So some practical steps. First of all, decide to put Jesus first. Dads, ruthlessly wage war on sin, particularly lust. And this isn't a sermon on lust, so I'm not going to get massively into this. But I say this because most men, most dads struggle with lust. And dads, if you struggle with lust, what that will do is undermine and damage your relationship with mum. You and mum will be out of kilter, and that will start to have knock-on effects with your relationship with your children. So dads, really engage with the challenge of lust in your life. And practice spiritual disciplines. Practice a Sabbath day principle, taking a day off to prioritize being with your families. Read scripture, attend church, not just every 6 weeks when there's nothing else going on. Be part of a connect group where you can be accountable to other people. And also spend regular time in prayer, praying for your families and praying for your children. This is such a, I think, important point that I wanted to invite Brian up, who's going to just share something about his own journey as a dad and how he's evolved as a dad who prays for his kids. Thanks so much,
Danny. Hello, yes, those who don't know me, my name is Brian, and I am a father. I try to be a good father, rather like the words of the song we sang earlier. I don't always get it right, so I'm not an expert, stood before you, not surprisingly. I'm a father to two sons, and quite a few years ago, about 28 years ago, I became a father to my first son. And my prayer life started very directly as, God, please can I get some sleep tonight, because I've got a job I have to do tomorrow to earn the money to pay the mortgage to keep this lot going. And then gradually, my prayer life developed a little bit more as both sons started to grow up. And I may get a bit more detailed on prayer, like it would be really good if we knew a good school where the boys could go to get a good education, that kind of praying. And then as life went on, we started to pray together a bit more. Tracy and I, we got a bit more involved in all of it. And we got to the challenging teenage years, which are a real adventure for those of you who are just about to go into it or have been there. And the prayers became much, much more earnest about, please God, keep them safe. Keep them away from bad stuff that's going to get them into real trouble. And Lord, if you could sort out some really good friends for them, that would be really good as well. And how about maybe a lovely life partner? And then years later, here I am, stood talking to you now about prayer and the power of prayer. And I'm now a grandfather with a beautiful daughter in law and two beautiful granddaughters. and a lovely potential daughter-in-law, who knows. But Rob's not here this evening.
No,
who
pressure.
Knows. No pressure, well, Rob. If you're
we'll
watching
edit
this on
that
live
out
stream,
the stream, please.
No pressure. So what I would say with prayer is keep it honest, keep it real, and keep it going would be the thing I'd say.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Brian. Thank you for sharing. Could you give Brian a round of applause? Really appreciate that. Just hope it's really powerful and encouraging for us as dads to hear other dads talk about their desire to raise their kids in the faith. So my question, dads, are we prioritising leading and loving ourselves so that we can properly lead and love our children? Habit number two, highly effective dads know children spell love, T-I-M-E. Children spell love, T-I-M-E. I shared that with Alison a couple of days ago, and she cringed at how cheesy it was and said, Danny, you've got to drop that or put it differently. But I said, no, it stays in. Children spell love, T-I-M-E. Jesus, throughout his ministry, as we read in the Gospels, he often prioritized spending time alone with the Father. So Jesus would be really busy. You know, Jesus had a serious job description. Saving the world, that's quite a high pressure job. And Jesus, often when things were going really well and things were really busy and the crowds are pressing in on him, they just want to touch him, they want to hear his teaching, which I wish I knew what that felt like, and they want to be prayed for by him and be healed by him. Jesus often withdraws from the crowds and the busyness to spend time alone with the Father. And as far as we know, Jesus spent hours and hours, perhaps praying late into the night, spending quality time with his Father. And I think we can assume that as he prayed and as he sought the Father didn't say, Jesus, I'm so sorry, I've got a lot on my plate at the moment, several other people praying to me right now, I haven't got time for you. We can assume, can't we, that Jesus and the Father delighted in spending time with each other. Perhaps that was essential to Jesus' ministry as it unfolded. Emily, my 2.5-year-old daughter, when I'm sitting on the sofa, obviously watching Sky Sports News, she'll often take the opportunity to climb up onto the sofa, to sit onto my lap, and she'll look at me and she'll say, whoa, whoa. Which, of course, doesn't take much translating, row, row. So I'll take her hands and I'll go, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Thank you. I broke one of my own rules there, which is singing in public. Not going to happen again, apart from in a moment. And, of course, she'll look at me and she says, Daddy, again. Row, row, row your boat slowly to the shore. If you see a lion there, don't forget to roar. Roar. Don't applaud that time, that's fine, that's okay. Wouldn't expect it twice, that's too much to ask. And by the end of the second one, I'm starting to think, gosh, I've got things to do here. I'm a busy man. I've not checked BBC Sport website for at least 10 minutes. And Arsenal might have actually signed a player. Trust me, I'm praying that in. But I realise, as tempting as it is to say, I'm sorry, Emily, you know, I've got lots of things to do. I've got sermons to write. They don't write themselves. You know, I'm under pressure today. I delight in spending time with Emily, just being with her. Time is so important for us as dads to spend with our children. So dads, do our diaries to the extent that it's possible. And I'm well aware, dads, that many of you may have jobs where you're working super hard, you're out the door before your kids get up in the morning, and you're back home after they've gone to sleep. I'm not trying to burden you or guilt you on that. I really value, appreciate, encourage you as you're working hard to provide for your families. But dads, do our diaries, to the extent that it's possible, reflect the importance of spending quality time with our children. Habit number three, highly effective dads are free from fear of affection. Free from fear of affection. You guys, I'm sure many of you have heard the story of the prodigal son. father, son. The son basically says, Dad, I want my inheritance, essentially saying to his father, you're dead to me. The son gets a load of his inheritance. He runs out into the world. He blows all his money, his inheritance, on exactly the sort of things that young men with a load of money will blow their inheritance on. His life kind of unravels. He gets into the sort of mess where he's actually sharing a trough with a pig, which, if you haven't worked that out, that's a bad place to be in life. And he thinks, you know what, I should probably go back to my dad and beg forgiveness. And so he decides to return to his father, to beg his father to take him back. So Luke 15, verse 20, and the son gets up from this mess to return to his father. But while he, the son, was still a long way off, his father sees him in the distance. He's filled with compassion for him. He runs to his son, throws his arms around him, and kisses him. The father embraces and kisses the son. A wonderful picture of the intimacy that our Father in heaven wants with us, his children. The father is not afraid of affection. Frederick II, a 13th century German emperor, he had the bizarre idea of wanting to know what happens if you raise children and you don't show them any affection and you don't speak to them. He wanted to know what language those children would speak when they grew up. So he grabbed a bunch of babies, he gave them to nurses to look after, and he said, feed them, give them all the essentials, show them no affection, and don't talk to them. Unsurprisingly, all of those children died in infancy. The children that weren't held, that weren't touched, weren't shown affection, they died in infancy. Oh, dads, I wonder if you find it difficult to show appropriate physical affection to your children. My dad, who I love dearly, I wouldn't swap him for any other father in the world, and has all sorts of different ways he expresses love to me as his son. He's not big on hugging and kissing. It's not kind of one of his love languages. So I've had to learn to receive love from my father in different ways. Even now when he comes to visit, I find myself, we don't hug and kind of maybe give each other a quick kiss. Kind of almost a slightly awkward handshake at the door, good to see you, Dad. I love my dad. This isn't a complaint about my dad, love him. That's just part of our relationship. Dads, can I suggest to you, I don't care how old your children are, please, I promise you, learn to overcome your fear of physical affection. Many of us, I think, as men, as guys, we find that kind of touchy-feely stuff difficult. Often when kids are young, we get around this by rough play, which is great and has its place, but I don't think it should be an either or, it should be a both and. Rough play is great, hug and a kiss, arm around the shoulder every now and then. I think your children would love that. So dads, your children, I don't care if they're 5 or 55, if you have the opportunity to, please give them a hug and a kiss. You don't know how long they might have been waiting and longing for that. So Dad, can we be free from fear of physical affection? Give our kids a hug and a kiss the next opportunity we have. Habit number 4, highly effective dads speak words of affirmation. Hopefully we're all familiar with the story of Jesus' baptism. Mark 1 verse 9, that time Jesus comes from Nazareth in Galilee. He's baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus is coming up out of the water, he sees heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And the Father's voice comes from heaven and says this, "You are my Son whom I love, with you I am well pleased." The Father's words over Jesus, his son, they answer the big 3 questions that each one of us has in our lives. It doesn't matter if you're a small child or you're the most powerful person in the world. Each of us, I think, asks 3 questions. Who am I? Am I loved? And am I good enough? Who am I? The Father says over Jesus, "This is my son." Am I loved? The Father's not afraid to say, "Whom I love." Am I good enough? The Father speaks over his son, "With him I am well pleased." These are the words that our Father in heaven speaks over us as his children. And I, like you, have read this verse many times, heard the baptism story, heard that whole kind of the Father speaking those words over the Son. And I've always thought that it's really great that this is included in the Bible, in the New Testament, because it's written so that me and you, 2,000 years later, can understand the relationship between the Father and the Son. So in other words, that happens for our benefit, so that we can understand this is the Father's relationship with the Son. But as I've been reflecting on these words of the Father over the past couple of days, I've come to realize this. What if Jesus really needed to hear these words of his Father spoken over him? What if Jesus needed to hear those words? A couple of years later, after his baptism, Jesus would be praying in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his crucifixion. And he's so gripped by fear that drops of blood pour out of his forehead. I wonder if in that moment of agony, of fear and uncertainties, he's trying to find the courage and the inner strength to go to the cross. I wonder if in that moment, these words that the Father spoke over him are what gives him the security and the inner strength to do the thing the Father has called him to do. What if Jesus needed to hear those words from his Father? The power of a father answering those three questions for their child with words of affirmation and love. Don't underestimate that power, dads. Think about the words you're speaking over your children. If someone had a record of everything you said to your kids and were saying to them at the moment, would you be able to answer those three questions? Would your child be able to answer those three questions? Each night with Emily and Peter, when I'm putting them to bed, Alison and I, obviously this doesn't happen every night, you know, I don't want to paint us out to be perfect parents, but what we do is we hold Emily and then we hold Peter and we say, Mummy loves Emily, Daddy loves Emily, Jesus loves Emily. And then we put the Emily or Peter in their cots. Those are the words that we speak over our children. They're the truths we want them to know. So dads, how can we use our words to affirm our children? What do we need to say to our kids to assure them that they are loved and we delight in them? Okay, final habit, and then I promise I will close. Habit number 5. Highly effective dads train their children in the ways of the Lord. You remember the reading that we had a very long time ago from Christine? Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. After the law has been given at Mount Sinai, God says to the people of Israel, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. God is very clear that it's the responsibility of mums and dads or parents to pass on the faith to the next generation. I was a youth worker for 6 years working with teenagers, and it amazed me how many parents seem to think it was my job to make their kids Christians. Yeah? I'm like, do you have any idea how much time your young person, your child, spends with me in church compared to the amount of time they spend at home and at school? And you're expecting me to take responsibility for your child's faith development? Parents here, it's not our kids, youth, and family workers' responsibility to make your kids Christians. It's our responsibility, your responsibility as parents, to intentionally raise your children in the faith. I think there's a myth with Christian parents at the moment that the right thing to do is to create a neutral environment so kids can make their own decision about faith. So quite understandably, we're very nervous, aren't we, about pushing faith on children. I get that. We want our kids to have the freedom to make up their own minds as they grow up. But I want to encourage us not to be afraid, especially as dads, to take the lead on talking about faith and the things of God at home. It's our responsibility to pass on the faith to our children. There's no such thing as a neutral environment so that children can just make their own decisions. Because I promise you, school isn't a neutral environment. The playground's not a neutral environment. The world is not a neutral environment. We as parents have that God-given honour and responsibility before the Lord to train our children in the ways of God. So how do we do that? Well, we talk. We pass on the faith. We talk about the things of God. God says to the people of Israel, you talk about faith when you're sitting down, when you're walking, when you're lying down, when you're waking up. Do any of you ever find yourself sitting down, walking, lying down, or waking up? Ever happen to anyone else? Those are prime opportunities for you to share your faith with your children, to pray with them, to have deep conversations. I know at age appropriate and all the rest of it, but to be intentionally passing on the faith. Every moment with children is a teachable moment, because when they're children and they're young people, they're like sponges. They're watching you as mum and as dad, and they're picking up everything you do, not just what you say on a Sunday, but they're seeing how you model the faith throughout the week. So dads, how are we passing on the faith to our children? How are we modeling, however imperfectly, messing up day by day and all the rest of it, how are we modeling a desire to grow closer to Jesus to our children? So dads, I want to encourage you to maybe reflect on what I've said tonight, to think about the habits and the principles you're parenting your children with, and to think about what might be the next step for you to take in your journey as a dad. How can you grow as a father who lives in relationship with the Father and is a father who shows something of the love of God to your children? Can I pray for us? Why don't we stand together? Why don't we just take a moment to open ourselves up to God? Can we just take a moment perhaps to pray especially for any dads here who, like me, would love the Lord's help and strength to grow into a better, more loving father to their children? Dads, if that's you, I just encourage you. If you want to grow as a dad, if you want the Holy Spirit's help, the power of God to help you be a better dad to your children, just encourage you maybe just to open your hands as a sign that you want to receive all that God has for you tonight. So Lord Jesus, just thank you for the dads in our church family and for all those that aren't actually here tonight. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to be better dads to our children. Would you help us to love our families well? Would you help us to take the lead in modeling and passing on the faith and our relationship with Jesus to our children? I pray, Lord, for those dads who, like me, often find themselves completely clueless about what the right thing actually is to do with their kids. Pray, Lord, that you would give us your wisdom. Also, obviously, want to pray for anyone here tonight for whom Father's Day is a day that's really just laden with pain for you, for whatever reason that may be. Just want to pray for those people who may be brokenhearted today. I want to pray for those men here and women who would love to be a dad or a mum, who for whatever reason haven't been able to yet. And today's quite difficult for you. Just pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would come and bring you comfort, would bring you peace, would be with you now, fill you with his love. I want to pray for those of us who live our lives with open father wounds. For those of us who have been hurt in all sorts of different ways by our earthly fathers. Just want to encourage you, perhaps if that's been a real kind of spiritual no-go area for you, you've never brought that pain before the Lord, just to maybe have the courage, if you're able to do that tonight, and trust that God, despite our experience of fathers, is a good father who has good things for you and who wants to bring healing to you tonight. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just pray that you would come gently as you do, but that you would do a deep work in